More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on More to Life, that small, still voice. Struggling to hear God's voice through the noise of your life will help you discover how God is speaking to you and get the clarity you need. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to Life. Happy couples find little ways to say, I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to Life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, that small, still voice. We're talking about discernment. You know, how do we hear God's voice, especially when we're trying to figure out what to do about something, how to respond to a challenge or make a decision, and we just don't know what God wants? We get stuck and feel, it's really frustrating, honestly, to not know what to do and to not feel like God's talking. We want to help you discover how to discern and hear His voice more clearly and get the clarity you need. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. Call in, let us walk you through the steps of getting that clarity and learning how to hear how God's speaking to you.
Are you facing a big decision but feel stuck because you don't know what God wants you to do? When you pray for direction, does it seem like you only get silence or static? Are you worried that you'll make the wrong decision, let God down, or mess up that one chance you had to get it right? We've all been there. Or is someone you care about, your spouse, your child, a family member, a friend, wrestling with something and you don't know how to help them get clarity without just telling them what to do? Let us help you discover how to hear God's voice clearly and confidently today on More to Life. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. And if you're listening right now and you're thinking, this is the show I need, but I'm not going to call in, I'm going to wait, and maybe God will let somebody else call in with my same issue, and then I'll hear the answer. No. Step out in faith and courage and give us a call today, because what God's telling you is completely different than what might be telling somebody else. 877-573-7825.
And I think, for a lot of Catholics, it's sort of a hot take to think, wait, God's speaking to me? Doesn't He just do that for, like super holy people who live on top of a mountain or, deep in a monastery somewhere where they don't ever see other people and just sit and think about God all day? And the answer to that, boys and girls, is no. God's speaking
to you. A resounding no.
Yeah, He speaks to all of us. And we'll get into why in just a minute and why that's important to our relationship with God. But, He loves us and He is speaking to us. He wants to teach us how to live and how to love and how to lead the abundant life we were created for. But He doesn't speak to us the way we speak to each other. And so it takes some practice to understand how to hear His voice and to really discern His will. And so that's what we're talking about today on More to Life. When you call in with your questions about, that relationship issue or that decision you have to make or that problem you're facing, we're not going to tell you what to do.
Nope, because we're not God.
That's right. Last time I checked, anyway.
Thank goodness. Yeah. I can't handle that responsibility at all.
But we will walk you through some steps that I think will help you get greater clarity. And I have to say that these are things that we've learned from St. Ignatius of Loyola, the things that we've learned from reflecting on St. John Paul's Theology of the Body, and we use them extensively, in our own lives, in our marriage, in our family life, in our own personal lives, to to get that confidence that we need to be able to know what God's asking us to do next.
And of course, we help people do that every day at CatholicCounselors.com. So this is practiced. This is rooted in the teachings of the church and the great saints. We're not just spouting off here. And like I said, we're not going to tell you exactly who to marry, what job to take, and if you're supposed to move or any of those
things.
Not
our place. Yeah.
But we can help you tune in to what God wants from you and what he's saying to you.
So let's talk it out. 877-573-7825 on that show, on our show titled That Small Still Voice, as we talk about discernment and hearing how God's speaking to us. Of course, every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And if you're wondering, well, what is that exactly, and how can it possibly help me discern God's will for my life? St. John Paul, when he was Pope, basically asked a huge question. He said, you know, if we took everything God's given us, creation even, scripture, salvation, history, I mean literally everything, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for leading a more fulfilling, abundant life and having healthier, holier relationships? And his answer to that question became what people now call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that God created us for intimate communion with him. Learning to hear him speaking to us in our daily lives is an important part of reclaiming the communion that he desires with us. Of course, he doesn't have a voice like you and I have, but he speaks to us through experience, and he is always nudging us towards three things: meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. God is speaking through whatever choices lead to a greater experience of those qualities.
Now, of course, the process of finding those qualities has to be rooted in prayer and doing our best to lead a holy life. That's what opens up those channels of grace that let us be able to hear God more clearly. But God isn't playing hide and seek, right? We don't have to wait for the big sign from the heavens. We just have to prayerfully reflect on three simple questions. Number one, what choices allow me to use my gifts to make a positive difference in the situation I'm in and or the lives of the people around me? Number two, what choices would make my relationships deeper, healthier, and holier, because God's always calling us to deeper communion and intimacy? And thirdly, how can I respond to whatever's going on in a way that allows me to grow into that stronger, healthier, holier person God's calling me to be? You know, asking those three questions in prayer really helps me lean into the meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue that God is calling me to in everything I do.
We often get stuck wondering if it's God speaking to us, or is it just our own voice we're hearing? The reason that's the wrong question is because God doesn't have a body and he doesn't have his own voice. Not now, per se. But St. Ignatius taught that God speaks to us through many different voices, including our own and other people's, and experience itself. We know God's voice not by how it sounds, but by the fruit it produces in our lives. God's voice sows the seeds of meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue. And we hear him by searching that land for where those seeds are sown, going toward them, and cultivating them when we find them.
And it is true, you know, that God sometimes uses big signs and unmistakable feelings to speak to us, but he tends to reserve those for special moments when we couldn't hear him in other ways. He doesn't like to shout at us, right? He prefers that we learn to hear his gentle voice speaking through the big and small choices that would produce greater meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue in our lives. So by all means, you know, pray for those big signs and that perfect clarity, but don't wait for them to make a decision. Instead, learn to listen to his small, still voice and lean into the qualities, those three qualities, that lead to a more abundant life. With that, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. If you're hearing that and you're thinking, okay, I mean, fine in theory, but I don't really know what that means for me in this situation, we'll help you apply those principles and others that help us get greater clarity about hearing God's voice and knowing his will. Are you facing a big decision but feel stuck because you're not sure what God wants you to do? When you pray for direction, do you feel like you get static or silence? And you're just feeling frustrated? Maybe you're worried that you'll make the wrong choice and you'll let God down or mess up the one chance you had to get it right. Or maybe it's somebody else, your spouse, your kids, somebody you care about who is struggling, and you're not sure how to help them without just telling them what to do. Let us help you discover how to hear God's voice clearly, to know His will confidently. 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you and we thank you for creating us for communion with you and each other, and we hold on to the idea that part of that communion means learning to hear you speaking to us, learning to hear your voice and know your will clearly. Help us to know how to lean into those qualities, the meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue that enables us to hear your voice speaking through our experience and the choices that lead to an abundant life. Help us to prayerfully reflect on what choices we can make that would enable us to use our gifts to make a positive difference in our circumstances or the lives of those around us. The choices that would lead to healthier, deeper, more intimate relationships with the people around us, and the choices that would help us grow in all the qualities that enable us to be the healthy, holy, strong, godly people you're calling us to be. In all of it, help us to hear your voice more clearly so that we might be able to walk the path that you have for us that leads to a more abundant life and healthy, holy, fulfilling relationships. We ask all this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, that small, still voice, as we talk about how do we hear God's voice clearly through all the noise in our life, through all the mixed up feelings that we have and all the confusing options that are in front of us. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Let's walk you through the steps of making those decisions, of really clarifying what God might be saying to you and understanding what He's calling you to next. 877-573-7825.
Well, we have a question here that came in from Lauren, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Tennessee. She said, my husband and I have been married for 19 years, and I'm committed to staying. That's not a question for me, but I haven't felt happy in our marriage for a long time. When I try to talk to him about wanting more closeness between us, he tells me that we have a great life and that I should learn to be happy with what we have. And on paper, he is right. So I start to wonder if the problem is just me. Every time I bring it up, I can feel him getting ready to either shut down or get irritated. So lately, I've mostly stopped bringing it up at all. Part of me thinks that God is telling me to make peace with the way things are. But another part of me can't shake the feeling that God wants more for us than just coexisting. How do I know whether God is calling me to accept this or to keep pushing for something deeper, even though it scares me? That's Lauren in Tennessee.
Lauren, thank you so much for the question. And, you know, I get where you're coming from, right? Because on the one hand, you have this longing for a closer relationship and more, you know, intimate life. On the other hand, the pushback that you're getting from your husband is making you feel like bringing it up is the wrong thing to do. So here's where I think it's really helpful to be in a sacramental marriage. Because as Catholics, you know, when we get married, we don't write our own vows. Right, and the reason for that is because, as Catholics, we aren't defining the marriage on our own terms.
The marriage, or how we're going to love each other in the marriage.
That's right.
It's not just, hey, whatever I feel comfortable with or whatever I desire. The Church gives us universal principles for this.
Right, like in secular marriage, for example, you know, couples kind of go up and say, "Well, this is what I want to give you. You know, this is what we want to give to each other. This is how we want to love each other." We don't get to do that as Catholics. When we get married in the church, what we're really saying is, look, I have all this love in my heart for my person, but I don't know how to love them the way God wants me to, and I'm going to spend the rest of my life learning how to do that, and I believe this place, this church, can teach me how to do that, right? So it's not a matter of me just saying, well, you know, this is how I want to love you, and you need to learn to be happy with it. As Catholics, we have a right to expect more from each other. Yeah. We have a right to expect all the love that God wants to give us through our spouse. The other thing that I want, kind of a principle to keep in mind, because marriage is a sacrament, it points to a deeper reality. The fact that it's a sacrament means that it's pointing to something other than just what you're seeing in front of you, right? And that thing that it's pointing to is the communion of saints, the intimacy that we are to enjoy with God and the entire communion of saints when we,
for eternity,
God's grace, go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means that we're supposed to spend this life in our marriage and family life working on cultivating that intimacy that would allow us to step right in to the fire of God's love and not feel burned.
And when you say cultivating that intimacy, it's not just, you know, being as giving and loving to the other, but it's also learning how to be loved. Because we often really, really struggle with allowing ourselves to be loved, because a lot of us are dealing with woundedness in some way, shape, or form. So, you know, truly, Lauren, what I'm hearing here is that you have that longing to be loved the way God wants you to be loved, but also to be able to love your spouse the way God wants him to be able to be loved. He doesn't want your husband to just settle for good enough on paper, as you're saying. He wants your husband and you to help each other open up to his love so that you can experience that love forever.
All right, so step one, okay, and this is a really important thing for all Catholic couples. I'm always saying this. I'm never going to get tired of saying it. You might get tired of hearing it. But, you know, you can have a marriage with Christians in it, but you can't have a Christian marriage unless you're praying together every day, and specifically praying about your marriage. And so step one is I would love it if you and your husband would sit down every day for a little bit of time and just say, Lord, you know, whatever else you pray and however you pray, you know, if you use rote prayers, that's fine. You can put this as an intention before those prayers. But every day, pray, Lord, help us to have the marriage that you want us to have. Teach us how to be the husband and the wife that you're calling us to be, and help us to learn to love each other the way you want us to love each other. Not just the way that's comfortable for us, but the way that really challenges us to love each other the way you want us to. And then use that prayer as a springboard for the conversation you want to have about what that would actually look like. Okay? And if your husband kind of pushes back on that, you know, just say to him, look, I love you and I'm not criticizing you. I'm not saying that you're failing as a husband. I'm not saying that we have a bad marriage. I'm saying that I really feel, as I pray about this and as we pray about this, that God is calling us to more. And I'd really like to walk with you and talk with you about what that would mean. And try to make the conversation, focus the conversation more on positive things if you can. I mean, if there are problems to be resolved, then by all means, bring up the problems. But I think that a lot of times we start the conversation, well, I'm just not happy, or this isn't good. And then the other person feels like we've kind of thrown this dead fish in the middle of the floor, and we're all staring at it up and it's stinking up the joint, and we don't know what to do with it.
And we're dealing with our internal dialogue, which says, they don't like me enough, I did something wrong. So we actually elevate the stress level of the other person when we approach it in the way Greg just said.
So I'd suggest that you start the conversation by saying, you know, I really feel closest to you when we do this, or when we share that. And you know, maybe you're saying, well, I don't ever really feel super close to my husband at all. Well, there are times when you feel closer, right? So start there. You know, one of the times when you feel closer, maybe not as close as you'd like, but it's a step in the right direction. What are you doing then? How are you sharing with each other? What are you talking about? What experiences are you having? And say, you know, I'd really love to maybe even just start doing that. Could we start, you know, going on that date or having that kind of conversation or getting more of this kind of time with each other. So it's not coming off as a criticism or as a statement that he's failing in some way. It's, hey, I love when we do this. Can we do more of that? I mean, it's kind of hard to object to that, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're, and that would get the conversation started, right? The next step might be doing a marriage encounter weekend, you know, where you guys really just sort of learn to open up a little bit more with each other. And they teach some great techniques for opening up those lines of communication. Or going through a book together, like For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage, or How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Both of those are available at CatholicCounselors.com. And if you know, if you're trying to do all this and you're getting a lot of pushback and he's not willing, then that's time to seek some professional help to kind of to work through those objections.
And I want to be clear here. That doesn't mean he has to be willing to go with you. There are a lot of spouses who will stall out the spouse who knows that there needs to be a change by saying, oh, well, I'm not going. Go. Go to somebody who knows how to help you change that system. and things will begin to change.
Yeah, we do a lot of that kind of work through CatholicCounselors.com. It's called systems theory, and basically you teach the individual spouse what changes they can make to begin to change the whole system in the relationship. And so there's a lot you can do even when you're working on your own. So start with the suggestions that we're making here, Lauren, and if you find that you need more support, don't hesitate to reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. You might even download the podcast of More to Life. Go to AveMariaRadio.net. And subscribe to the podcast, check out the show, and play it for your husband. Use that as the springboard for the conversation that you're trying to have with him and see where that goes. Again, if you need more professional support, then reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. But I do think that these suggestions will at least get the conversation started. Thanks so much for the question. If there's more we can do for you, you know where to find us. With that, we're taking a break. When we come back, more with your questions on our show titled That Small, Still Voice, as we talk about how to hear God's voice more clearly and discern His will, about those big decisions you're making or those times when you have to help somebody that you care about make those decisions too. 877-573-7825. Back after this.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Do you feel like certain people just drain the life out of you? Like, no matter how much you give, it's never enough. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of CatholicCounselors.com. The pastoral counselors on my team can help you set healthy, loving boundaries that protect your peace without sacrificing your relationships. You don't have to choose between being a good Christian and having a healthy emotional life or healthy relationships. Discover how to make your faith, life, and relationships flourish. Visit CatholicCounselors.com.
She was a mystic and reformer who died at the age of 33.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Catherine of Siena accomplished something no one thought possible. She convinced Pope Gregory XI to return to Rome after the popes had lived in France for almost the whole of the 14th century. They've been there ever since.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled That Small, Still Voice, as we talk about the struggle to hear God's voice through the noise in our life and really how to discern when we're facing challenges or decisions. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Vincent, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Florida.
Hey, Vincent. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Yes, hello. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, I have a question, family relationship questions. We have a son who's a hardworking guy, mm-hmm. and he's got good qualifications, college degree in his field. And at any rate, he has a small business, and it's a contracting business, but he's been struggling with it for years in terms of he always thinks the next job's going to do the trick, and sometimes it does, and sometimes as that business type of business goes, you wind up going overtime and paying the guys more and coming away with nothing. In the meantime, he has the opportunity to take project manager jobs, which basically pay a good salary and they have benefits that he doesn't have now, and we're trying to convince him to go that route because he's been at this a while now. And he's not a kid anymore.
And how's he feel about that when you bring it up? What does he say?
Well, yeah. How does he he always gives us the same response. He says, I don't want to work for somebody else. I'm just about to make it. I put all this time in here, and all of a sudden when it's just about to go, how can I just give it all up? You know, that's
so, the, Vincent, is he a prayerful man? I mean, does he pray?
Well, he's coming back to God now. Thank God. He was away from the church for a long time, and he just recently got married. And he's going to mass again. So yes, I would say that he's
okay. Good. So here's what I'm going to suggest. This is going to seem like it's coming out of left field, but I think this is the way to go. And this is something we actually do with our adult kids, by the way. We have kind of a monthly time where we get together either remotely, you know, some of our kids live far away, others live closer, but we get together monthly for just some prayer time. And because here's the thing, you know, as parents of adult kids, we often see, hey, if you just did this, everything would be fine. But either they don't want to do that, or they don't appreciate being told by their parents what to do, and so they get defensive.
Or they'll do anything to just, you know, be their own person in some way, and so they reject it because they think that's what they need to do to be their own person rather than hear it and pray about it.
But as Christian parents, you know, it's not really our job. As parents of adult kids, it's not really our job to tell them what to do anyway. But especially as Christian parents, it's not our job to tell them what we think they should do. It's our job to disciple them into clarifying what God's calling them to. And so the best way we can do that is kind of create that space where, you know, periodically, like I said, we do this once a month with our adult kids. Just get together and pray together and say, you know, Lord, you know, help. And like, for example, you might say, help my son know what you're calling him to do. You know, he really wants to make the business work. He's got all these skills. Help him to know how to respond to all the challenges he's facing in a way that really glorifies you and leads him to the life that you want him to have. And help me and my wife be the parents that he needs us to be, and to support him in the way he needs us to support him. You're not telling him what to do. You're creating space for him to reflect and discern what God's calling him to do. And in the process, you're leading him closer to God. Thanks for the call, Vincent. Back in a minute.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. Feeding 5,000 from a boy's 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, as recorded in John chapter 6, is quite a miracle. Yet the next day, Jesus downplays it in verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Likewise, God's provision of manna to the Israelites in the desert was also a great miracle. Yet Jesus similarly downplays it in verse 49. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. Jesus is clearly stating that his Eucharist is greater than both of these amazing miracles, and the Catholic Church absolutely takes him at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
In the world of religion, what constitutes a promise? What constitutes a vow? How do they differ? The Catholic Catechism states that the Christian is called to make promises in a number of different ways, such as in baptism, confirmation, matrimony, and holy orders. A Christian may also make promises that are uniquely his own, such as promising to say certain prayers, give alms, or make a pilgrimage. Remaining faithful to a promise we make to God demonstrates the respect due him and his divine love. A vow is a deliberate and free act of devotion in which a Christian dedicates himself to God or promises God some good work. The Church recognizes as especially exemplary those who embrace the evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Do you feel like you're constantly being pulled into someone else's chaos? Maybe it's a family member who turns everything into a crisis, or a spouse who can't have a disagreement without it turning into World War III. In my book, God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, I share a simple but powerful principle. You don't need anyone's permission to set a limit. Most people's boundaries fail because they're really asking the other person to approve the boundary. But a healthy boundary is something you set because you believe it's necessary for a healthier relationship moving forward. Stop asking permission to do what's necessary to be your best self. Encourage the people around you to be their best and to work toward healthier, holier relationships in your life. A peacemaker isn't a smoother overer. They're guardians of right order. And that's why Christ called them blessed. For more help on creating healthy, holy relationships, check out God Help Me, These People Are Driving Me Nuts, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, that small, still voice. We're talking about discernment, and how do we hear God's voice through the noise of our life? Are you facing a big decision, but feel a little stuck because you're not quite sure what God wants you to do? You know, when you pray for direction, does it seem like you only get silence or static? Maybe you're worried you'll make the wrong decision. You'll let God down and mess up the one chance you had to get it right, and then your life will be awful forever. We've all been there. Maybe it's somebody else that you care about, your spouse, your kid, a family member, friend, who's wrestling with something, and you're not sure how to help them get clarity without just telling them what to do. We're going to help you discover how to hear God's voice clearly and discern confidently today on More to Life. 877-573-7825.
Before we take our next question, we want to let you know that one of our great EWTN radio affiliates, needs to hear from you next week. Holy Family Radio, 720 AM, serving Harrisburg and Lancaster, Pennsylvania, is kicking off their pledge drive on Monday.
The theme is building a community of faith, so remember to support them if you are in the Harrisburg and Lancaster area. But wherever you are, remember to support your local EWTN Catholic radio station with your prayers and with your dollars. Let's keep EWTN radio going strong for decades to come so we can keep supporting you and those you love in living a more faithful, joyful, and abundant life. With that, we're taking your calls at 877-573-7825. We're talking about discernment today and the fact that God is speaking to you. Yes, you. Now, sometimes it's hard to hear him because he doesn't speak to us like we speak to each other. But St. Ignatius of Loyola laid out certain principles that enable us to hear his voice more clearly and discern his will more confidently. We have some all other principles that are drawn from St. John Paul's theology of the body that build on that and really help give greater clarity for knowing what he's asking us to do. So if you're facing a decision that you're not quite sure what to do about, or a relationship that you feel stuck in and you're not sure how to improve, a choice that you're struggling to make, let us help you get the confidence and clarity that you need to hear God's voice and know his will for that situation and really all the situations in your life. 877-573-7825 or questions at moretoliferadio.com.
We have a question here that came in from Teresa, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio. She said, my husband has a job offer in another state. It's more money and a real step up for him, but it would mean uprooting our kids and leaving our parish and the friends that have held us together for 15 years. We've prayed about it together, separately, at adoration, you name it. He feels one way some days, and I feel another, and then we flip. I keep waiting for some clear sign that this is right or wrong, but it never comes. I'm starting to resent that God won't just make it obvious. How are we supposed to know what God wants when we honestly can't tell, and the clock is running out? And that's Teresa in Ohio, and I love her honesty.
Yeah, no, thank you, Teresa. I think we've all been in that situation where we feel like we're waiting for that sign, or we're waiting for that conviction in our heart, or that peace about the one thing. Right?
Especially when it involves so much, and especially when it involves our children, their future, their friends, our friends. We know it's not just about one decision, but something like this will have ripple effects, and we want them to have the ones that God wants for us so that he can work out all those ripple effects for the positive.
So I'm going to step back, and I'm just going to give some general principles from St. Ignatius here just to kind of provide that broad context, and then I'll try to zero in a little bit more on how you can really think about this a little differently maybe than you have, that I hope will give you some clarity. All right, so, you know, you're talking about kind of wanting the big sign or wanting the clarity in your heart. So those are two ways that God speaks to us, St. Ignatius said. The first way, of course, that big sign, right? Yeah, St. Paul getting knocked off his horse. But Ignatius said that God tends to save that kind of thing for situations where we couldn't possibly know what to do unless he gave us the big sign. So, you know, again, St. Paul, he couldn't know that God wanted him to stop killing Christians and become one and become the best evangelist the church has ever seen, right? He had to have that dramatic sign of being knocked off his horse and struck blind so that God would get his attention in ways that he could not otherwise know. And sometimes when, you know, if you think back over your life, if you've ever gotten that big sign, the chances are it was a similar thing for you.
And I think also the one thing that's important with St. Paul and getting knocked off his horse and being struck blind is that having that really intense experience with God also was the thing that let him persevere through all the time in jail, the shipwrecks, the everything that he went through. It was part of what God knew would prepare him, Paul, for his entire life and ministry.
But if God isn't giving you that big sign, it doesn't mean he's not speaking to you. It just means that he knows that there are other subtler ways that he can tell you what you need to hear. The second way, you also alluded to this, is kind of that clarity of your heart. And St. Ignatius talked about how that happens, where as we pray and we reflect on the thing, it's like watching the sun come up. Right? At first, it's just dark on the horizon. We don't see anything. But as we sit there and we look at the horizon and we reflect, we see the sun kind of coming up and suddenly it becomes clearer. Well, similarly, when we pray about something, you know, sometimes just for whatever reason, we just feel led to go in this direction. And there's this real clear sense and peace that comes from that prayer and reflection. And it just seems like, well, this is the way to go. I might not even be able to explain why. I just know. And again, Ignatius says that that's a perfectly valid way of discerning. It's not the only way, but it's another way. And God tends to use that when there are two good choices, you know, two equally good choices. But he wants us to move in one direction more than the other. If God isn't speaking to us that way and we don't have that clarity of heart or that peace about a particular direction, again, that doesn't mean God's not speaking to us. It means that there's a third way that he's communicating with us. And that is through our own reason and intellect. And that's where it gets messy, because sometimes we think, well, how do I know this is God's voice instead of my voice, right? Well, again, like we were talking about in the reflection, that's the wrong question, because God doesn't have a voice. He doesn't have a body. So he doesn't have that voice that speaks to us like we speak to each other. He uses our voice or other voices and experience itself. And so St. Ignatius talks about, as long as we're rooting our intellect with reason and will, or rather the other way around, rooting our reason and will with prayer and trying to lead a holy life, we can trust that God is speaking to that. And that's where the meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue test comes in. Okay, so now we come around to your question here. You know, you've been praying about should your husband take the job or not take the job. I don't think you have enough data to be able to answer that question. I think you need to pull your lens back and ask, which of these options is going to help us to build the life that God is calling us to build? You know, which of these options do we think is really going to give us, and specifically I mean you, your husband, and your children, that greater degree of meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue that we're all called to? Superficially, you might say, well, you know, we have a lot of relationships here, and there's intimacy here, and there's closeness here, and that's what's getting us through. And maybe God's asking you to stay because of that. Or maybe he's saying, you're leaning too much on those other relationships, and I want you to draw closer to each other by moving here. Now, I'm not saying that that's what he's telling you to do.
But
I'm saying those are possibilities.
It's a possibility that you then need to say, wow, I never thought of it that way. Let us take that to prayer together.
Right. So you really reflect on not just do you take the job or don't you take the job. You reflect on if we pursued this option or that, which would lead us as a husband and wife and as a family to cultivate the meaningfulness, intimacy, and virtue that God calls us to lead a more abundant life in general. Would staying here enable us to do that with the support that we've got and the way that we're living? Or do we need to shake things up? Because we've gotten comfortable and we've gotten as far as we can here, and God's challenging us to go to a new place to develop new skills and bring our relationship with him and each other to a new level. pray on that. And I think that's going to really help snap into focus which of these options, or maybe something else entirely, he's calling you to. But it's not a matter of does God want you to take the job or not. It's a matter that God wants you to have those qualities more, because that enables you to live the abundant life he created you for and prepare you to be in communion with him. So the more we pursue those qualities in our own life and in our relationships, the more we're aligning with his plan for our life. Okay, if you have other questions on that, once you've had a chance to talk with your husband about it, reflect on it a little bit more, give us a call back. If you'd like, this was a lot that I kind of shared with you. You can download the podcast, go to AveMariaRadio.net, subscribe to the More to Life podcast. You'll get it every day in your inbox. You can listen to the show with him, you know, this particular call with him, and use this as a springboard for your conversation to figure out where to go next with it. Let us know how it goes. We'd love to hear back from you, Teresa.
I think it's so interesting, though, that what we're kind of saying to Teresa here is, when you take this to prayer, what feels comfortable often clouds our discernment. You know, we love these people, we have relationships with these people, we know our lifestyle, we love our home. But God is often saying, I know you're comfortable, I know you appreciate the life I've given you, but I need you to get out of your comfort zone to get more of me, more of each other, more of what I want from you. And I will risk speaking for all of humankind. I know it's true of myself. We can often be comfort zone junkies. You know, I totally want to be comfortable,
yeah,
happy, don't challenge me. Everything's fine the way it is. You know, we saw that a little bit with Lauren's situation with her husband. He's like, on paper, it all looks great. Everything's fine. What do you want anything more for?
Why can't you just
for?
Be happy with what we have?
Right. And so we're not saying that God never wants you to be comfortable. Of course he does. He loves you. He wants your happiness. But often he wants to give you even more. And sometimes that takes us out of our comfort zones. And so we go, well, no, that can't be right. Look how much he's given me. He's showing me his love. If I make this other decision, am I somehow hurting his feelings?
Well,
somehow
we had a call yesterday
wrong.
From a woman who said, you know, that she'd been praying for her whole life to get a particular kind of job. And she finally got it, but it was four states away. And she was, you know, there was no practical reason she couldn't go and do the job. You know, her life was such that she was portable. But she was afraid to travel that far.
Yeah, the actual drive was what was terrifying.
And so, you know, for her it was, well, but, you know, yeah, I got it, but I got it in a way that was really uncomfortable for me. You know, what do I do? And, of course, we didn't tell her what to do. We don't know what to tell her to do. But that would be an example of, you know, if, in fact, God was calling her to that, he would be calling her to not just take the job, but also grow in that confidence that allows her to step out in faith in ways that she's been afraid to do in the past.
Yeah, it's funny. As Catholics, we're fine with doing pilgrimages. Like, we're fine walking the Camino, but we're really not fine getting into therapy with our husband, or finding a new job, or trying a new thing, because that's
leaving our comfort zone.
Yes.
I can decide when to go on the pilgrimage.
Right.
You know,
I know what to expect, is because everybody's done it before me. I can do this. But taking risks, changing things up a little bit, even when we're pretty sure God's telling us to, that's terrifying.
And I got to say, for most of us in the lay vocation, that's the real pilgrimage that God wants us to walk.
Yeah, I know you don't want to hear it, because I don't even want to hear it.
He wants us to take the pilgrimage that leads us out of our comfort zone and more into the abundant life that he's calling us to. And that's scary, and it's hard. And that doesn't mean automatically that you accept whatever changes come down the road, or just do the new thing because it's the new thing. It means you have to take it all to prayer all the time.
Yes.
But it just means, when you're praying through that, don't let your comfort be the enemy of the call. Whatever that might be.
Yep.
877-573-7825. The show today, That Small, Still Voice, as we talk about struggling to hear God's voice through the noise of our life. How do we discern his will? How do we hear his voice? How do we know what he's saying to us, especially when we're facing those decisions that are hard to make? 877-573-7825. As we head out to our break, it's time for our scripture of the day. It comes to us from Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21.
And I want you to hear again. This is from scripture. This is from Isaiah. It's going to sound kind of woo-woo, but this is truth that we walk in. And your ears shall hear a word behind you, saying, this is the way, walk in it. And when you turn to the right or the left.
So God is really saying here, even in the smallest things, you know, when we turn to the left or turn to the right, he wants to guide us. He wants to talk to us. We need to expect that he is speaking to us and challenge ourselves to learn to hear that voice. This is not just for some exalted mystic, some monastic, some person who lives on
somebody
a mountain.
Somebody who isn't Christian, but into like some kind of other mysticism. This is
he's talking to you.
Scripture.
He's talking to you. And we can hear him if we're rooting our lives in prayer, doing our best to lead a holy life, but then asking him and really reflecting based on the criteria that we've been laying out through this whole show, you can start to hear him more clearly in your life. Let us help you do that in your circumstances. 877-573-7825. More to Life continues after the break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
In the midst of our culture today, in this age of relativism, which wants to grant Jesus some significance, but not so much, so we'll give him wise man, great leader, inspiring preacher, great teacher, prophet. You don't get that option when you claim to be God. What reasons do we have to believe that he is who he said he is? And it's important, again, to employ the use of our reason and to understand that faith is not blind. My faith, and please God, the faith of everyone here, is not blind. It rests on something. It rests on a number of things, not least of which is my own experience of God, but it also has something substantial which can be claimed through history. We're not talking about a galaxy long, long ago, far, far away when we talk about Jesus. We're talking about a precise moment in history which has been testified to by countless testimonies, and you and I have access to them.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living an abundant life through the theology of the body? Follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa and on Instagram at Catholic Counselors.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. The day on More to Life, that small, still voice. We're talking about discernment and how to hear God's voice clearly through the noise of our life. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Kelly, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Michigan on Ave Maria Radio.
Hi, Kelly. What's your question for us?
Hi, good morning. My question is, when do I know to leave my husband? We've been married for 19 years. We have four children. There's been past pornography, 11 years ago, an affair, and now just 2 years ago, another affair. We've been through our own individual counseling and a lot of couple counseling. And since the second affair, he's been very cold towards me. There's no tenderness. There's no, he just treats me completely different. And I've been patient with this 2 years, hoping that he would find himself, find love for me again. It just hasn't happened. Home already I've purchased 2 years ago.
Oh,
so I'm ready to go. I just haven't.
I can hear how much pain you're in. And just so we have a clear delineation here, I'm assuming you're both Catholic and in a sacramental Catholic marriage. Is that true?
We are, yes. Since the second affair, well, actually, since the first one, he's kind of pulled away. Since the second one, it's been worse. Our children go to Catholic schools, and I think he goes for show more than anything else.
Okay. And Kelly, what kind of support are you getting at this point? Are you getting any help? You've mentioned counseling in the past. Are you doing any kind of counseling yourself now?
Yeah, I'm in IFS therapy right now.
Okay.
Which has helped greatly.
Mm-hmm. And what are you working on there? Like, what would be your goal with that? And for folks who aren't aware, IFS is Internal Family Systems, and we can talk more about that. But basically, so what's your goal? What are you working towards?
So with that is I've really learned a lot about his character and why he's done what he's done. I mean, there was so much blame being put on me as it was my fault that this all happened. And I'm learning more about myself and getting stronger to be more independent and to know that there's nothing that I could have done to make this happen.
That's right. Yeah. So let's talk about, just sort of the whole thing here and you know, your question, how do you know when to go? I'm going to give you a different question to reflect on. It'll ultimately give you the answer to that question, but I want you to take this up with your counselor as well. Okay. So I'm glad that you're doing the work that you're doing. I'm glad that you're saying that you're getting stronger in the process. Part of that strength, okay, well, in marriage, very often we think of marriage as this kind of holy knick-knack that we have to preserve. It's this talisman that we have to tiptoe around or protect at all costs. But marriage is energy. Marriage is grace. It gives us it challenges us to do a certain work. And that work is to learn how to love each other the way God wants us to heal the damage that sin does to our personal ability to love the way God wants us to. And so we can't damage the sacrament of marriage by doing the work the sacrament is asking us to do, right? So what can sometimes happen is we do the work that the sacrament is asking us to do, and the person that we're married to runs away because they were never committed to the sacrament in the first place, in which case that clarifies what God is asking us to do, and it clarifies the kind of relationship that we've got. That's why the church acknowledges annulments, because there are sometimes people who are not capable of entering into marriage as the church defines it, or unwilling to do the work that marriage asks us to do. But we have to assume that the person we've married is willing to do that work, even if it doesn't look like they are, and that God is going to work through us doing that work. So my point in saying this is, as you get stronger, it's not just about you getting stronger and leading an independent life. It's about how do you get strong enough to hold him accountable for doing the work that he needs to do to heal. Now, that's not your job to make him heal. Please note the distinction I'm making here. It's not your job to make him heal, but it is your job to hold him accountable for doing the work. And what does that mean? Well, it means that, for example, that you are insisting that there are certain things that have to be done to have a healthy marriage or to have a healthy family life, that you guys are going to get together to find time to work and play and talk and pray together every day, and you're going to invite him to be part of that. And, you know, when he rejects that, you know, you're going to do that with your kids and build that relationship, and you know, you're going to keep talking to him and say, hey, this is important for us to do. You're not going to make him do it. It's not your job to make him do it, but you're going to hold him accountable. Whenever he's mean to you, instead of accepting it, you can say, listen, I understand that you're upset, and I get that you have stuff to work out, but you can't talk to me like this. I love you, and I'm happy to work with you to sort this out. If you can treat me with respect and with dignity, I will be right there with you, but I'm not going to do this. You need to get some help to figure out how to speak to me like a beloved daughter of God instead of this monster that you're treating me like. And you're holding him accountable. You can't make him do it, but you're holding him accountable. What happens is, as you get stronger, and you're working with your counselor to figure out healthy ways to hold him accountable for having a healthier, holier marriage, he will either be dragged kicking and screaming through God's grace to a better place in your relationship to do the work that he's been avoiding doing all this time, or he'll run for the hills. Either way, that's God's will for the relationship, because you're doing the work that God has asked you to do in the sacrament, working for his good, working for the good of the relationship, inviting him to be a healthier, holier man and have a healthier, holier relationship with you. You can't make somebody accept that invitation any more than God can make us accept that invitation, despite the fact that he died and rose for us so that we could join him in heaven. People still reject God. But God still gives us the invitation, and he gives us the freedom to either choose him or not. But he's not going to extend the invitation for fear of making us run away. He didn't say, for example, eat my body and drink my blood. You know, he didn't hold back on saying that because he was afraid of driving people away.
In fact, many people ran.
Right? But he gave the invitation. He said, this is what it's going to take. Now you choose. And that's your job in this marriage, to do the work that the marriage is asking you to do, to get strong enough to hold him accountable, to fulfill the promises that he made to you and to the church, to be the husband that God's calling him to be and build the marriage with you that God's calling him to build. If he wants to run for the hills, he can do that. That's his choice. But you're going to hold him accountable for that and make it an impossible decision to avoid. And that's how you're going to figure out what happens next. It's not a matter of you choosing to go or stay. You're going to keep working for his good no matter what. And what will happen will reveal God's will for that. This is the kind of work that we do through CatholicCounselors.com. We can talk more about it in our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Or for those of you who are interested in learning more about the kinds of things we've been talking about throughout the whole show, reach out to us at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, your personal life in the light of God's grace. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, remember that with God's grace, there is so much more to life.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Don't ever miss another episode of More to Life. Subscribe to the podcast at AveMariaRadio.net.